Welcome to Freedom to Retire with Jim Cipriotti, powered by Retire Ready Financial Group.
You got to be prepared. If you're not prepared and you have too much risk, you may make some adverse choices. And so you need to have a plan because the downturns are going to happen.
Jim Cipriotti has been helping people in the greater Philadelphia, South New Jersey, and Delaware area reach their retirement goals for over 25 years.
We just want to make sure we're not too aggressive, not too conservative either. We want that nice mix. And that's what I help my clients with every single day.
Now, it's Freedom to Retire.
You know, we've heard it's important to understand how taxes are going to affect your retirement. We've talked about it here on the show. You got to minimize your tax bill to maximize your income. And, you know, there are online calculators to do that. But it still seems like something that's a little too complicated to do yourself. How do you help people out with this?
I mean, geez, Chris, here we are. I mean, taxes, this is the season, right? So Let's spend some time talking about taxes. People want to hear about this. So people are not getting the sort of help and guidance, you know, from their 401k folks or from other advisors that they're working with. That's at least what I'm finding out. But for this segment, what I would like to do is share some stories.
Yeah,
I think that our listeners right here in the greater Philadelphia area, they're surprised to know that that you can actually, really almost everyone listening right now can shift into what we call a tax-free retirement. It's actually possible. And no, that does not mean sticking your money in muni bonds or something where you're going to get 2% interest tax rate. I'm talking about people that can be invested in these big, big, strong blue chip companies, these blue chip stocks, these tech stocks. I'm talking about people right here in our area that are doing it right now that aren't paying any taxes on their dividends that they're receiving. I'm talking about people that are invested in big popular stocks, these AI stocks like NVIDIA, They aren't paying any taxes legally on any of the growth that they've experienced over the past couple of years in these stocks. Huge. And when I say growth, I'm talking about doubling, tripling their money. Not one person who is following these strategies, they're not needing to pay one penny of federal tax, state tax, local tax. Those folks are, you know, a lot of them out there were lucky enough to be in those stocks like the NVIDIA and some others, these, you know, Magnificent Seven stocks. And I'm talking about people that, you know, have not only been in stocks like those, but people that have been receiving monthly income payouts from annuities. There's people that own these things. And if they're positioned right, which I'm going to tell you about right now, who don't have to pay 1 ounce of taxes on the income that they're receiving each month from those annuities. And I'm talking about people too, right now as we speak, that have invested in things like CDs, high yield savings. They're earning 5% interest, who do not have to pay any tax at all on that interest that they've been making lately. And it gets better. A lot of the same people who have been enjoying all this growth, right, without having to pay any taxes on all the cash flow and interest and earnings and dividends and all of that, they don't have to pay any taxes. It doesn't stop there. Many of those folks don't have to pay any taxes either on their Social Security income. And I've spoken to and I've met with and I've helped countless folks right here in our greater Philadelphia area to position themselves like so they don't have to pay taxes on anything they've made last year in 2023 or anything they've made in 2022, as well as many, many years before that. And they won't have to pay taxes on anything else they make this year in 2024 or next year in 2025 or next year in 2026. You get the point.
Yeah.
For the rest of their life. And they didn't do anything sneaky or underhanded or scandalous or move their money to the Cayman Islands or anything ridiculous like that. All these people that I've just been mentioning, they have one thing in common. And that one thing can be summed up with four little letters. And that's our favorite little four-letter word here in the financial community. It begins with the letter R. And that's our favorite four-letter word because of all the power that's embedded in this word. And the name is Roth. That's the four-letter word. And you might have heard a lot of chatter about the power of Roth IRAs. You probably heard a lot even in recent years, probably, Chris, right?
Definitely. You know, this is the season, right, where people are trying to figure out if they can claim their dog as a dependent or things like that to get a little bit less. But you're talking about not paying taxes, you know, just going forward. I mean, you certainly have my interest, and I'm sure there are countless listeners out there. So let's talk more about this.
Yeah. I want to start out first. first about these misconceptions about the Roth. There's too many people out there, and I speak with a lot of you all the time, and a lot of people still think, Jim, I make too much money to be in the Roth. I spoke with my accountant. I can't get any money in this darn Roth. Just to clarify, there's two ways to get money in a Roth. For simplicity, let's call it the front door and the back door.
Okay.
Just like a house has a front door. The front door, yes, it's very thin and narrow. You can only get around $8,000 per person into the Roth if you're over age 50 through a regular, it's called a contribution, Or you can contribute up to $30,500 per year in 2024 if you're over age 50 into the Roth portion of your 401k. Those two techniques are called contributions, by the way, so they're pretty limited. And by the way, if a Roth is offered within your 401k, there is no income limitation. So what that means is you could make $1 million a year and have no problem getting any of your money into that Roth, the one that's offered within your 401k. Okay, so that's the first way. The second way to get money into this Roth is by means of what we call a Roth conversion, the back door, as some would call it. This is where you take money that's already in your existing traditional IRAs or your 401ks, and you convert those funds into the Roth IRA. And yes, you're going to pay some tax when you do the conversion. And if you're over 59 and a half, people say, Jim, where am I going to get this money to pay the tax? Well, if you're over 59 and a half, you can pay the taxes and have them just deducted, have maybe 20% withheld or whatnot from the amount that you convert. So that's one way to pay the taxes, or you can pay the taxes from a non-retirement account, we'll call it, money that's built up in your checking account or your savings account. That way you can maximize the amount that actually goes into the Roth by means of that conversion. And that's the way I usually prefer it to see it done. It's funny when people cringe up when they hear taxes, but some people, you know, they just get really bummed out about the thought of, oh man, I got to pay tax. But seriously, you know, none of us like to pay the tax. None of us like to pay taxes ever. But when you think about it, unless you give your retirement account money to a charity, there's no other way that I know of to get the money out of that account unless you pay taxes at some point in your life when you take the money out. So why not pay the taxes earlier in your life? Get them over with. And think of it this way. If you end up having to pay, I don't know, let's say 20% in tax, let's say it might take you 2 or 3 years to make up that 20% in your account balance, maybe by, you know, hopefully getting some growth in that account after you do the conversion. Well, now look at where you are. You're sitting in a pretty spectacular position in my point of view, because now everything you ever make in that Roth IRA account going forward, you never have to pay any federal income or state income taxes again. And I had a guy just recently tell me, he said, well, Jim, look, I never looked at it like that. And he told me, Jim, so wait a minute. So if I can make up the money that I paid in taxes in maybe 2 or 3 years, hypothetically, then I don't have to pay any taxes on anything I make on that money over the next 10, 20, 25, 30 years in that Roth IRA account. And I told him, hang on a minute, it even gets better because withdrawals from the Roth, they don't trigger any taxes on your Social Security because they're not included as taxable income.
Yeah.
And I was chatting with one guy who was telling me, listen to this one. He was telling me how he converted some money of his regular IRA. He paid the 20% tax and he invested the proceeds of that. And now it was Roth. Okay. He invested that in NVIDIA earlier this year. And think about how, you know, we know it went up a lot last year, even earlier this year. So he made up that 20% tax in about 3 weeks.
Wow.
And look, this is an extreme example because NVIDIA is on fire right now, but at least at the time we're recording this show. So I'm not telling our listeners to go out and do exactly this, but I'm just sharing a story on how to utilize these perfectly legal tax laws. We all have them at our fingertips right now. And I want our 1210 listeners to know that they too can have a tax-free retirement by keeping the same types of investments that you have currently. Whatever you have right now, if you're liking it, you know, in your IRA, 401k, keep them. Just switch the tax status to Roth by the conversion if it makes sense for you. And I realize this may leave some people scratching their heads as to whether or not a Roth IRA could be a good move or not for them. And luckily, we don't have to just guess at this anymore. We have computer programs like the one that I use, which can help in crunching out some numbers to help figuring out mathematically if switching more of your funds to Roth could be beneficial for you and your family from a tax-saving standpoint. So look, if these types of tax strategies are something you'd like to learn more about, grab your phone. Grab your phone right now. Give my office a call. Someone from my team will take down your name and number. And what I will do for you is I will run some of these figures for you, your figures, by seeing what a Roth conversion could look like using the software that I use. And I'll do this completely complimentary for our listeners who are tuned in right now. And how do we do this? Well, some people say they're super busy. They can't make it to my office. Fine. We can do a Zoom video conference together. You don't even have to leave your office or your home. Or we can arrange a meeting in my Radnor, Pennsylvania office, which is local to a lot of our listeners. So grab your phone. The number to call right now, I'll run one of these reports for you. Let's see. Let's see what your numbers look like. The number is 610-894-7415. Again, 610-894-7415. And the way I see it, there's really no better time because we have about a year and a half left of these discounted taxes that President Trump put into place for us a few years ago. And it doesn't look like taxes are ever in our lifetimes going to be this low again, considering, goodness, we have $34 trillion of debt.
That's right.
So taxes are quite likely to go a good deal higher. How much higher? Well, remember, folks, as recent as the early 1980s, look it up. If you had income over $108,000, you were taxed at 70%. That was your bracket, 70% for the federal taxes alone. That doesn't include your state. And the retirement account withdrawals, they are included as ordinary income, just like your Social Security is too. So if you're in your 50s, in your 60s, your 70s, you don't want to be a sitting duck in the event that these tax rates do go back up. So it's probably in your best interest to maybe look into at least taking advantage more so of that Roth IRA. It could be your number one defense. So let's explore it together. You and I, all complimentary, by the way, for our 1210 listeners. I'm going to run one of these Roth conversion analysis for you. And I'd be happy to help our listeners in just helping them in learning more about how to get to that potential tax-free retirement. And the number to call right now, 610-894-7415, Chris.
And as you mentioned a second ago, you know, people are busy running around doing things this weekend. Perhaps they're finishing up their taxes for what they owe, you know, last year. This is not the meeting that you're going to have with Jim right now. The call is just to get on his calendar, figure out something that's going to work best for both of you. And then you'll have that complimentary conversation doing that Roth conversion analysis at a time that is more convenient for you. Because there's things that we assume to be true, two things. One, our portfolios, the balances that we have in our 401ks, our retirement accounts, will increase over time. That's the hope, right? And then that taxes are going to go up in the future. We almost know that with some certainty. So why not pay taxes on a smaller balance now at a lower rate? Certainly we're taking a look at, and Jim can help run those numbers for you, complimentary, 610-894-7415, which leads us into, you know, the fact that it is not just tax season. It is, of course, spring. They go hand in hand. And for a lot of people, spring means time for some spring cleaning around the house. And you can actually do the same with those tax deferred accounts. Here's Christine Benz from Morningstar.
Many people have leftover 401ks, perhaps left behind at the old company, or they have rollover IRAs at various firms. These accounts together represent a major consolidation opportunity, where oftentimes the best strategy from the standpoint of streamlining is to consider merging all of those accounts together into a single mega IRA. And that makes it super simple to keep tabs on that account and allows you to silo that account with a single investment provider.
Bringing all those orphan 401ks may have all together. Is that something you recommend to your clients? And is it something you help out with if you do?
It's making me think about this one story. I'll never forget this one lady. She called me up out of the blue. I've never spoken with this lady before. And she said, Jim, I've been listening to you on the radio for a long time. And I just wanted to tell you that the reason I'm calling is because I hate my retirement accounts.
Oh. Okay.
That was my response. I didn't say that out loud when I was processing this, and it took me a minute to gather my thoughts because I had no idea who this lady was, number one, or where she was headed with this conversation. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, well, first of all, what's your name? She said, Donna. And without skipping a beat, she started telling me that she had worked at several companies over the past 25 years. She said, Jim, I contributed to all the retirement accounts that were being offered at those companies. And she now feels like her retirement accounts are chaotic. And this year she turns 73.
Okay.
RMD age. Yeah. So now she's stressing out because she has to take these required minimum distributions, RMDs. This is the age, by the way, everyone pretty much knows this, but for those that don't, when you hit that age, sometimes it's age 75 if you were born 1960 or later. But this is the age where the IRS forces us, whether we want to or not, kicking and screaming, we have to take money out of these retirement accounts. Otherwise, yikes, we face some stiff penalties if we don't take out what they tell us. And the reason, obviously, that they want us to take the money out is because the IRS is there to collect the taxes on us.
That's right.
Because remember, these pre-tax retirement accounts, the IRS has never touched a penny of it. They never collected 1 ounce of money on the principal or that we contributed or any of the interest or the dividends or the gains or the growth or the earnings. You get the point on any of that money ever. So when I spoke to this lady further with Donna, I asked her, look, can you explain to me why you hate your retirement account? So the reason she told me, and she giggled a little bit, she said, you know what I mean, Jim, they're just frustrated. She said, it's because some of my retirement accounts, Jim, some of them are 401ks, some are 403bs, and some of them are IRAs. So when I looked a little bit further, I realized she was right. She had two 401ks, she had three 403b accounts, and she had three IRAs, and they were split up. Of the three IRAs, two of the accounts were with two separate banks, and another one was with a Vanguard brokerage IRA. So all in, we're talking about eight different retirement accounts just for Donna.
Wow.
And for those wondering what a 403B is, of course, everyone knows the 401Ks, but a 403B is very, very similar to a 401K. It's usually offered by schools or hospitals or nonprofits, charities, et cetera, for their employees. But it pretty much has the same functionality as a 401K, meaning you make contributions from your paycheck every 2 weeks or however often you get paid. You get the matches, you know, just like with a 401. You pick the mutual funds and all of that. So it's pretty much identical in that regard. So anyway, Donna, you know, she just went on. She was venting, I think. I think it felt good to kind of let it out
sure.
on me, but or with me. But she was telling me how she was getting all sorts of mixed up advice and guidance when it came to the RMD amounts that she has to take. So she contacted one advisor that she worked with for years ago. And that advisor told her that she has to take an RMD out of each and every one of the accounts. But she seemed to be getting conflicted guidance because she was reading an article on the internet. And the article that she read said, you can take all of your RMDs from just one account. So you can see how this stuff can get really, really confusing, especially when you have these so-called experts pointing in all sorts of different directions. I mean, she's reading an article that was made for the masses.
Yeah.
The person writing that article has no idea about her particular situation. So you can see why people, you know, really, really get puzzled with this, Chris, right?
Yeah, especially, you know, if you just have one account by itself, that can be complicated to figure out the right amount and how to go about doing it. But if you've got a multitude like Donna does here, you know, that alphabet soup of retirement accounts, I can see where it would cause someone to want to seek out that information and, you know, make sure that even that advice is correct.
And look, I'm sharing this story today with our listeners because I know for a fact, after speaking with several hundred, maybe even into the thousands of 1210 WPHT listeners so far. Well, this is our fourth year here on 1210. And I've spoken with so many of you, and I'm grateful for all of our conversations. But I know, and I'm here to announce, that there is a large percentage of you that have multiple retirement accounts. And for those of you that do have a couple of different retirement accounts, and you're wondering how the RMDs work, here's how it goes. So the accounts that you have that are truly IRAs, that say IRA, Those are the only accounts that you can aggregate together. And by aggregation, what they mean by that is, let's say you have three IRAs. Donna had three IRAs. The IRS does not give a hoot if you take the RMD out of each of those three accounts proportionately, like a little bit for, you know, the proper amount from each, or it might be easiest for you or for the, maybe one, the other two investments are doing great. You don't want to touch them. You can take the grand total that you should have taken out of all three accounts. You can take out of just one of the IRA accounts. No problem at all. The IRS will absolutely allow that. And the same thing goes if you have multiple 403B accounts for those working at schools and hospitals, et cetera. Let's say you have two of those accounts, just like Donna did, from two separate employers. You are also allowed to aggregate between the 403B, meaning you can take one RMD from just, you know, one big one from the from one of the 403Bs, just as long as the grand total of what you should have taken from the two is satisfied. Okay, so, and I know it gets a little sticky, but here's where it gets even more sticky. The accounts that you have that are actual 401Ks, well, you are not allowed to mix and match between those types of accounts with RMD. The way you want to look at it is that, look at each of those 401Ks, each of those accounts that you have, look at them as like a standalone island. You know, you have to take the exact amounts of the RMD from each of those 401Ks. So you can't double up on an RMD on just one of those accounts, you know, take twice as much like you can do with a 403B or an IRA. And there's a lot of folks listening right now who work for the city of Philadelphia, government workers. You might have deferred comp or 457 plans. You folks cannot combine those. You have to look at those also as a separate island. You can't, you know, combine your IRA and your 457 for RMD purposes. So let's get back to our friend Donna. So it's pretty easy to understand why she hates these retirement, I'm doing air quotes, but you know, why she hates these retirement. Look, the rules can get complex. I mean, she would be having to figure out RMDs for all eight of these accounts, waiting on hold with these companies, all the awful hold music, and then getting some people that are, you know, hard to, there's a language barrier. A lot of these folks are in customer service areas, they're overseas. Mm-hmm. So sometimes trying to get information is a struggle, but she would have to do this for eight different accounts, ready, for every year for the rest of her life.
Oh, gosh.
And if she gets it wrong, the IRS is standing there like a pit bull, you know, drooling with big penalties.
They're waiting for it, yeah.
Yeah, of course. So what I did for Donna, what did I do to help her out? Well, I helped her in consolidating. She went from eight accounts down to two. She liked those two 401Ks. She liked one of those 401Ks. Jen, this one's really cooking. This one's doing well. I don't want to touch this one. So we combined her two 401Ks into the one. And the rest of the six accounts, well, guess what? We consolidated those into just one IRA. And after all was said and done, now she only has to take two RMDs. Okay, much easier to manage, much more simple, instead of eight. So look, if you're listening right now, and if you feel like you can relate to Donna, and sometimes with two spouses involved, sometimes there's husband will have six or eight different accounts, the wife will have six or eight. It's probably a good idea to get a second opinion from a seasoned professional like myself, who can teach you at least about some of the advantages, pros and cons of consolidating your accounts. So grab your phone, the number to call right now to set up a time for you and I to chat later this week. And this could, you know, the goal here is to help make your record keeping and your tax planning a bit more simplified. And the call with me, always 100% complimentary. The number to call right now, and I'll help you out with this, 610-894-7415. Again, 610-894-7415. And just to add on, this is important for folks of lots of different ages, people in their 50s, their 60s. Maybe they're not quite at the age where they have to take these RMDs just yet, but it makes a whole world of sense to get a head start on this. So you don't want to be feeling overwhelmed at the last minute with all those complex RMD rules and calculations and And with penalties, the penalties can be as high as 25%. So if you were supposed to take out like 20 grand, well, 25% penalty to the, that's 5,000 bucks. I can think of some nice places to vacation for 5,000 bucks other than paying the IRS a penalty. So if you have multiple IRA accounts, RMD mistakes can be costly. So let's, you know, just get as educated as possible on this right away. So the number to call again for a complimentary retirement account consolidation analysis, it'll be with me personally. We'll start chatting later this week, but call now. The number, 610-894-7415, Chris.
I don't want to go so far as to say that the IRS makes the RMD rules complicated by design in the hopes that they make a mistake and you have to pay the penalties, but I mean, there could be an argument made for that, but it's better to just go and have that plan put in place to know where that money is coming from. And if it is advantageous to consolidate, it's certainly worth taking a look at to make sure you don't make those mistakes. And the phone number, 610-894-7415. It seems like everybody, Jim, is waiting for the Fed to cut interest rates. It might happen in June. It might happen later than that. In the meantime, they do remain high. Here's former Fed Reserve Board nominee Judy Shelton recently on Fox Business.
The problem with the Fed keeping rates so high is you're slowly squeezing the private sector, because high rates really are an obstacle for private sector entrepreneurial activity. There it is restrictive. My fear is that the Fed's policies are feeding the growth of government. They're certainly increasing the deficit, because the cost of financing this massive government debt that we're carrying has a tremendous impact on the budget going forward.
I can't help but feel like she's kind of warning that there may be more bad news to come. What are you telling clients right now that have, you know, they've taken advantage of these high rates for their CDs and money markets, things like that, and maybe now they're wondering, you know, if how long they should keep their cash there?
Yeah. I mean, look, this has been a topic of discussion for the past few months or longer. What's the Fed going to do with interest rates? I get the question all the time. And are they going to keep them at these higher levels for a bit longer? Are they going to start cutting them over time? Maybe in the summertime this year. Maybe that'll extend the stock market even higher. You know, a lot of folks seem to think that, you know, in doing that, making a move, you know, in the summertime, it could really help the Democrats look great around the time of election. Because look, a lot, it's truth. A lot of people vote based on their balances and their investment accounts. And if they spike up, people say, "Ah, oh, man, I'm pretty content with where things are." And you know, people don't vote on policy or you know, things like that, but they'll vote on what their balances. And it's well documented. But what happens if they say, "Yeah, we're going to cut rates," and they just cut them by something like a quarter of 1% this year in 2024? Maybe they make two small cuts of interest rates. That way they could say, look, we cut interest rates. And especially if they do that shortly before the election. And then what happens if Biden does get in there for another 4 years? Then God only knows what direction the Democrats could take us with this economy afterwards, because they have nothing to lose after that. Because look, if interest rates do remain high, it's certainly going to have a lasting impact on the health of our small businesses, just like we heard on the clip. Medium-sized businesses, they're constantly needing money to borrow, to expand their operations. And it's certainly going to have a negative impact on the real estate market. And we could very well be looking down the barrel of, you know, of a recession, you know, something quite significant. And look, what if we do have a pullback in the market? I mean, we'd had such a run-up lately. But a pullback, that could translate into tens of millions of people needing to postpone maybe the number of years until they can actually retire. It's happened to countless Americans in the past. And that's why I've been encouraging so many of our clients, so many of our listeners who are very close to retiring, just to take a step back and just take a look at the progress you've made in your investment accounts, especially these past few months. It might make sense to just dial down a little bit some of the risk that you might be taking. Why? Well, in many cases, you know, it just might make sense to take a portion of just some of the money that you've made recently, just to reposition it into maybe something, you know, with just a small portion of the profits that you made into something with more stability. Why not? Maybe that way, you know, you can feel more confident. Maybe you can hold your head up high in the event that we do actually go into a recession at least you won't be able to say you got crushed by a loss. You'll have captured at least, you know, maybe a portion of the gains that you had recently. And to me, it makes a lot of sense, Chris. What are your thoughts?
No, I think there's definitely some merit to it. You know, we've talked all the time about timing the markets, and we even talked earlier this year about, you know, timing these interest rates. And it turns out, well, we can't really control that either with the Fed's reluctance to cut the rates. They keep pushing it back. And, you know, people said 6 before, now they're saying 3. Now we're saying, who knows, honestly. So this is really just a time to take a good analysis at where the money is and if it needs to be shifted around now, almost more than any other time this year, right?
Yeah, just a little bit of profit taking. And you don't have to get into, you don't have to bury the money in the backyard where it's not going to be at use for you. I mean, this is making me think about a long time client that I've been working with, at least 10, 12 years.
Okay.
We'll call him Patrick. And Patrick, he lives not very far away from my Radnor, Pennsylvania office. He lives right in Westchester, so he's right down 202. So recently I met with him over a Zoom call, of course, one of those video conferences, even though I met him many, many times in person. It's just the Zooms are so convenient
sure.
for everybody. And great for busy folks. But anyway, Patrick, he was telling me how he was just elated, really, with how the markets have been doing. And especially these past few months, he's just really surprised by it all. And he was sharing with me how it's just so difficult to pull out of the market, even a little bit, when it goes up like this. He was telling me it's kind of like a drug. It's actually his word. It's addicting. You know, when you see the growth of your investments kind of doing well, my goodness, and look, the fact of the matter is, you know, who the heck doesn't like seeing their investment balances rise in value like this? So these past few, we all love it. All of us, we all love it. But the reason he reached out to me was because he felt that it would be a prudent decision to maybe shift some of his balances into something where he could get a secure maybe 5% or 6% interest rate. And that's the nice thing about where we are with the choices that we have in the investment world right now. And yes, the market is doing well, but we also have the interest rate environment for investing anyway, looking fantastic. It's not like it was in 2016. 2017, heck, 2018, 19, we had interest rates hovering around 1%. It didn't leave us with a whole lot of choices back then. So people kind of, you know, had to settle for either the 1% interest rates in the money markets or the high, quote unquote, high yield savings back then, 1%, or CD rates, bonds back then a few years ago. And if we didn't like those rates, well, we could easily, just say, oh, I guess I got to take my chances in the stock market. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, here we are, early 2024. We don't have to choose between low interest rates and a risky stock market. Nowadays, we can get in that 5% or 6% interest rate range without risking our money in the stock market. And for those folks that think 5 to 6% might be boring, or maybe they think 5 or 6% isn't going to grow their money as well as the stock market can, I would urge those same folks to pull up a chart of the market. And you might be surprised to see this, but over the past 2 years, the stock market is only up around 5 to 6% total. And the reason is because the market got crushed in 2022.
Yep.
And the market, yes, it regained in 2023, the last quarter of 2023 especially. But look, at the end of the day, you wouldn't be any better off taking all the risk in the stock market as compared to as if you just had an instrument paying you 5 or 6% per year. In fact, in most cases, the 5% or 6% instrument would have beaten the stock market in things like mutual funds, et cetera, over the past 2 years. And those investors in the market would likely, you know, maybe have a lot of stress in their life. 2022 is stressful. Which we don't want to have, as little stress as possible. So look, the bottom line here is that if you're looking for some fresh ideas, maybe on how to de-risk without having to sacrifice getting decent rates of return, now is the time to reach out to a financial advisor like myself who can give you some suggestions for your money. Look, you worked really hard for that money that's sitting there in your investment accounts, and the markets have been really good to you lately. So now might be the time to to head off a little bit by capturing some of the profits that you've made in these recent months. And most people listening right now, they have witnessed firsthand how quickly the balances in their account can be erased. Mm-hmm. So why have that happen all over again? A lot of people said, if I can just get back to where I was in the start of 2022, I'd be so happy. Well, now you're back. So now what? So what I would suggest doing is grabbing your phone, giving my office a call. Someone from my team is going to take down your name and number. I know you're busy now in the car probably. So this call is only going to be around 2 or 3 minutes. Someone on my team will just get your name and number, set up a time for you and I to chat later this week. So the number to call now is 610-894-7415. Again, 610-894-7415. And this would be for a completely complimentary second opinion with me personally, and just me getting to know your situation a little bit better. And I'll be sharing some ideas with you and maybe how to protect some of those big investment gains that you've made recently. And we still want to keep your investments and your retirement on track for the best possible growth potential, but maybe just adding a little more security to your mix. Again, the number to call right now for this complimentary consultation, where the hopes would be to help in making your retirement as strong as possible. And don't forget, you'll be chatting with me personally. The number to call now, we'll chat later this week, of course, but call now, the number 610-894-7415, Chris.
I understand the reluctance to not kill the proverbial goose that lays the golden egg, right? The market, we love seeing our balances go up. And here's the thing, and I don't know if a lot of people really understand this, and you know, through working with you here, Jim, like, I've come to understand this better. Not going backwards, especially as you get closer and closer to retirement, is more important than big gains, because the market's going to fluctuate. But if you have some consistency and you're protected from those downturns, if and when they happen, it can go a long way to making your retirement as strong as possible. A second opinion, figure out the right blend for you as it pertains to your risk and everything, is what Jim's offering here. And to get on his calendar, as he said, complimentary, that number, 610-894-7415. Now, if I said the number is 10 and 2, do you instinctually, you know, grab for the steering wheel? That's where you put your arms. Chances are, if you heard that, you did that. You took driver's education classes back in high school, and that's been locked in your brain. But get this. Now the government is recommending that you place your hands in a 9 and 3 formation. So just right there on the sides, 180 degrees. Why? To lessen the risk of injury in case the airbags go off. So the rules that we thought initially, that we've been using as ironclad, they've changed. So can conditions that are thrown at you in retirement. What can be done, Jim, to lower someone's risk tolerance?
Well, Chris, look, there's no doubt about it. Human beings, we get smarter mm-hmm. over time.
Yeah.
Things that we once thought were the way to go have later been disproven time and time again. I mean, years ago, think about how many people were smoking and drinking without a care in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And sadly, a lot of us have had close family members, parents, grandparents that have passed away at young ages. I'm talking like late 50s, early 60s, or even 70, you know, early 70s because of cancer, because from smoking or other damage done by drinking. People used to do it all the time back then. But nowadays, it's pretty rare, actually, to even go out and see people smoking in public. I can remember being younger and those walking into the smoky restaurants, you had to like wave your hand in front of your face, to uh-huh. or sitting in the back seat, going to Little League practice as a kid and being smoke boxed in there by my friend's parents in the back of the Chevy Caprice Classic. I remember it, but look, the same can hold true right here in the financial community. There's some investments and some tax strategies that at the time, that we got in seemed to be harmless and kind of inviting, which I personally strongly believe are going to be looked down as time goes by, as one of those strategies that we could have really thought through a little bit better. Let me give you some specifics. And right off the top of my head, I can think of just these mutual funds out there right now, these target date mutual funds. The ones that have the date, like the year in the title, like mm-hmm. the 2020 fund, the 2025, or the 2030 fund. Target dates, some of them are called like life cycle funds. It's the L funds if you're a federal government worker. But anyway, the issue that I personally have with these funds is the way they operate. The closer and closer you get to that year in the title, what happens behind the curtains is the fund manager is shifting your money into huge portions, right into these bond funds. And I'll give you an example. Investors in these Vanguard and Fidelity 2020 funds, they might not even know this is happening, but the 2020 fund, you have something like 60% right now of your money is sitting in bonds. Even though it doesn't say bond in the title of your fund, that's the ingredients in there. And when you look just a little bit deeper to see how that bond fund portion has been performing, and all of this is disclosed right on their websites, most people fall off their seat when they see that the bond portion has only been earning around a half of 1% interest per year for the past 5 years in a row. So even, you know, people are seeing their balances increase, and they say, oh, I guess I'm doing okay. Well, that's because the half of their money that's in stocks has been pulling all that weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stock portion that's been growing, folks. And meanwhile, some people have half of their money just, you know, in those bond funds, not earning nearly as much as they could be. So instead, what do I like to do? I like to break up those target funds and take the bond portion. It might be 40% or 50% or 60%. And I'm looking at other instruments that are out there nowadays where you can get the 5% in places like CDs, money markets, fixed rate annuities, high yield savings, and the list goes on. And you could do rollovers without any taxes. You fill out a form or you make a phone call. So it's very easy to do these rollovers. And just to put that into a numeric example, let's say you have $700,000, for example, in one of these target date funds. Maybe you can get that, you know, instead of getting a half of a percent, maybe you can get 5% on that bond portion. Let's say you lock something in for the next 3 years. So instead of a half a percent, you're getting 5% for the next 3 years. Well, that, you know, little burst of growth that you experience these next 3 years, and let's say you go back into the bonds because you're welcome to do that. Well, if you add it up over 20 years, that little three-year burst of growth could very well translate into an additional $200,000 or more in your account balance.
Wow.
Yeah, and that 200 grand can go a long ways. You can be using that to pay for your long-term care, or maybe have other out-of-pocket healthcare expenses, or maybe use it to help out your kids or grandkids, college expenses, you name it. But look, you need to be proactive. You need to reach out to a financial advisor, someone different than who you're working with currently, who can help, you know, get a separate set of fresh eyes on this and help you facilitate these types of rollovers. Because the folks that are, you know, working at that target date fund, they're not going to call you up on the phone and tell you that the bond portion of their investments has only been earning a dismal 0.5%. And I love helping people out with this type of thing, Chris.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to get your second opinion from the person that you got your first opinion from. And it's going to sound like I'm contradicting what I said just a couple minutes ago. Not going backwards is as important in retirement as those big gains, if not more so. And there is still some truth to that. I'm not completely walking that back. But if there are ways to make that money, you know, still be protected from market downside, but still grow better than this, you know, next to nothing that the bonds are doing. Because those target date funds, I know you've been a big, you've spoken out against them for years here. I would say as long as we've been on the air here, because it's formulaic, right? Like they do it regardless. It's just how they do it every year, whether or not it is going to work best for people because they're trying to cover as many people as possible. And in return, they're taking care of no one in the process. That is where having that personalized touch, that second opinion that you're offering up really comes into play for people.
Right. I mean, they're just looking at that strategy without looking at the current environment. They're just seeing how that strategy worked years and years ago. And they're saying, hey, well, why doesn't it work now?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not working now as best as it could be. So the other area that comes to mind that I want to share with our listeners when it looks to things that might come back and bite us, things that we thought that were just A-OK, is really when it comes to the taxation of our retirement accounts. Think back to the 1990s, the early 2000s, when you were just getting started in your 401k. What were you told to do? You were told to put as much money as possible in that 401k back then. But look, in those, right around that time period, we didn't have $34 trillion of debt here in America. In fact, we barely had $5 trillion of debt. And that was through decades and decades of accumulation. We went from 5 to almost 35 in no time flat. So even though we thought we were getting some nice, friendly tax deductions by putting the money into the 401ks, which we were, well, nowadays, when we make a contribution into our retirement account, we need to have in the back of our mind the fact that this money that you're putting in every week or every 2 weeks, that money eventually has to come back out and be taxed. So we also just need to have that in the back of our mind, because Congress could very likely raise taxes in the future. And this is why a lot of these activists have pushed to get that Roth IRA approved within your 401k retirement account at work. And now, guess what? There's something like 90% of all retirement accounts offer a Roth platform that everyone's allowed to contribute to, regardless of your income, within that 401k account. And look, all that baloney that you were told about how you're going to be in a much lower tax bracket when you retire. Well, that might be true, but it very well might not be the case, especially if taxes end up going up in the future. And my favorite feature about that Roth, which we've been talking about almost on every show, because I want to make sure I educate people as much as possible on those benefits. The other feature about the Roth is that once you do reach the age of 73, the nice thing is you don't have to take any RMD out of that thing. You'll be able to remain invested literally for the rest of your life without being kicked out of that account by the IRS once you reach your mid-70s. And this is especially important for those folks who right now consider themselves as being frugal, frugal spenders. Because if you have enough money to live off of with just your Social Security, and let's say you have maybe a rental property collecting some income there, or maybe you have a small pension, and those income sources are enough, well, what that means is that you are barely going to be spending any of your retirement savings, most likely. And the Roth IRA could be right up your alley, because if you leave money in a regular IRA, it's going to have to start being kicked out of that account with the RMDs in your 70s. And then what do you do with the money when it's kicked out? The money's likely going to be reinvested in taxable accounts. So you have to start paying taxes every year on any interest that you earn on that money that after you reinvested it, dividends, anything you earn there, you got to pay taxes every year. There might be some capital gains that you have to pay out. So it just seems like a series of just taxes and taxes and taxes once you're in your 70s and 80s and beyond. And for those that do want their kids to not be burdened with a big tax bill, well, guess what? When your kids inherit money that's in a Roth IRA, your kids won't owe $1 of federal or state income taxes on that money. And the opposite is true if they inherit your traditional IRA or your 401k. In those cases, your kids are going to need to pay taxes according to whatever income tax bracket they might fall in. When you factor in all of their income that they have from their work, it could be a high bracket. So families, you know, they're just seeing these big losses happen with taxes when the kids are inheriting the non-Roth IRA account balances. And it, for me, it's just heartbreaking to watch that happen. So what I'm going to do at this point in the show is I'm going to offer something that I am confident can help out so many of our listeners. So grab your phone, grab a pen, a piece of paper, because what I'm going to be doing is giving you a phone number to call. And as much as I would love to help every single person listening right now, I'm just going to be able to help the next five people that call the phone number. What I'm going to be doing for you is helping in putting together a completely comprehensive financial plan for you. And here's the deal. You need to have at least $250,000 saved for your retirement. It doesn't matter, investment accounts, 401s, bank accounts, I don't care. Just not your real estate, because I can't advise you on that. And you need to be between the age of 50 and 75. Okay, so for the next five people that call the phone number that I'm about to give, what I'm going to do, I will put together your very own completely comprehensive financial plan. It's going to be an investment plan, a tax plan, and a retirement plan, all in one. Okay, and I'm going to teach you ways that can help you in maximizing how you claim your Social Security retirement benefits. I'll teach you some techniques to generate income from your investments to help in generating enough cash flow to help keep you nice and comfortable throughout your retirement. Social Security is not going to be enough cash flow. I'll take a look at your investment mix. Let's see if you're on track, especially, look, we have a high inflation cycle. I want to make sure you're positioned according to what's working now in today's environment, especially if you haven't made any adjustments at all to your investments in the past couple of years, back when interest rates were really low. So I'll do all that. Plus, I'm going to run some of these calculations on the Roth IRAs for you. Roth conversions. This is a big one, because we want to see if there's any potential tax savings for you and your spouse. And also, don't forget your kids when they inherit that unused balance. We're going to run and get some figures for you for that Roth and figure out what those numbers look like. And then I'm also going to put together a tax plan. Okay, the hopes here are just, look, I want to be paying the IRS the absolute least amount of tax that you legally need to pay throughout your retirement. I want to help position you that way. And computer programs are quite sophisticated these days. And what I do is I use a fantastic program that does all the heavy lifting, all the number crunching to help figure out these techniques. We want to be one step ahead of the IRS. So grab your phone. Here's the number to call if you're between the age 50 and 75, and if you have at least $250,000 or more saved for your retirement. And for the next five callers, I'm going to build you your very own custom financial plan, all complimentary, just for you. So here's the number to call right now. Someone from my team is going to take down your name and number, and we can get started on building this together later this week. The number is 610-894-7415. Again, 610-894-7415. And this plan, I just want to say, this plan works great, regardless of whether you're already retired. I don't care. If you're planning on retiring, maybe in the next several years, couple of years, it's going to work great for anyone between the age of 50 and 75. You're bound to get some good takeaways from this. And now, being the height of tax season, we're seeing how much taxes can really negatively impact our finances. That's a lot right. of us had to write a big check recently. So let's take the steps to do everything we can do to help minimize our taxes in the years ahead. And it all begins with having a plan. And now's your chance to have one, completely complimentary and built by me personally, an accredited investment fiduciary with well over 25 years of experience. And I can help you out with this, by the way, in my Radnor, Pennsylvania office, face-to-face, or we could do it just a regular Zoom video conference, which have been working out great. You don't even have to leave your home or office. And I'm available some nights and weekends too. So here's the number one last time. Someone from my team will take down your name and number. We'll get started later this week. The number to call right now is 610-894-7415.
If you have questions or concerns about reaching your retirement goals, then give Retire Ready Financial Group a call, 610-894-7415, or visit online at retirereadyfg.com.
Retire Ready Wealth Management is not licensed in all 50 states. To find out if Retire Ready Wealth Management is licensed in your state, please call 610-704-2792. Retire Ready Wealth Management is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through James Cipriotti, Pennsylvania Insurance License 366900.
Investment advisory services offered through Impact Partnership Wealth, LLC, a Securities and Exchange Commission registered investment advisor firm. IPW and Retire Ready Financial Group are non-affiliated firms. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean the advisor has achieved a specific level of skill or ability. Investing involves risk. There's always the potential of losing money when you invest in securities. Asset allocation, diversification, and rebalancing do not ensure a profit or protect against loss in declining markets. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. IPW, its affiliates, and its investment advisor representatives do not provide legal, tax, or accounting advice. You should consult your legal and or tax professionals before making any financial decisions. Please be advised that you may conduct securities transactions only by speaking directly with your investment advisor representative, either by phone or in person.